Part 1. Indiana. Chapter 1. Lynetta and Jim. The way Lynetta Putnam Jones chose to remember it, she began life in privileged circumstances, was married only once to a handicapped veteran of World War I, was terribly mistreated by him and his cruel family, gave birth to a baby boy after a near-death mystic vision, faced down Depression-era bankers and backwoods religious charlatans, reformed a state prison system, unionized mistreated plant workers, and raised the world's greatest man, who was in fact more God than human thanks almost entirely to the constant nurturing of his devoted mother. None of it was true, beginning with her name. Lynette Putnam was born to Jesse and Mary Putnam on April 16th in either 1902 or 1904. Her birth records can't be found, and later in life she mentioned both birth years, occasionally throwing in 1908 as well. Even her birthplace is disputed. It's most often assumed to be Princeton in the southwest corner of Indiana, but some researchers believe she was born in Mount Carmel, a small Ohio town outside Cincinnati. Wherever and whenever she entered the world, afterward the girl periodically tinkered with her name, becoming Lynette, then Lynette, in various census reports and legal documents, before finally settling on Lynetta. Reminiscing late in life, Lynetta described her childhood self as pretty at the first dawn, and strong as a tiger, too. Because of her dark coloring, people often mistook her for an Indian. As an adult, Lynetta would frequently claim Indian blood, though there is no record that she had any. Her parents wanted her to act like a China doll, but she confounded them by constantly tramping in the woods, investigating the animals. If true, this was an early example of Lynetta's lifelong trait, defying whatever was expected of her. In a convoluted partial memoir dictated in Jonestown, Lynetta described Lewis Parker, apparently her father's foster father, as a powerful Indiana timber mill owner who helped raise her. Parker, she said, was practically in control of what happened in southern Indiana. According to Lynetta, Grandpa Parker was renowned for kindness to his many employees, paying fair wages and constantly upgrading work conditions. In particular, he always had jobs for transients. But he suffered business setbacks due both to the decline of the timber industry and his insistence on putting the welfare of others before his own. Though Lynetta's penchant for wild exaggeration makes most of her childhood and Lewis Parker tales questionable, it's certain that in her teen years, the girl found herself in tough financial straits. Clearly bright and fanatically ambitious, Lynetta was sustained in these hard times by her firm belief in spirits and reincarnation. She swore she'd been a great woman in previous lives, and would somehow be again in this one. But spiritualism couldn't pay living expenses. Attractive young women in such circumstances had an obvious option, and in 1920, Lynetta took a traditional approach to female survival by marrying Cecil Dixon. She was either 16 or 18 years old. The marriage lasted about 2 years. Lynetta enrolled in Jonesboro Agricultural College in Arkansas, but dropped out after her divorce. Undaunted, she married Elmer Stevens a year later. That union lasted exactly 3 days, from March 12, 1923, through March 14th, though their divorce was finalized only in August. Nothing is known of either Dixon or Stevens. Lynetta tried taking classes at a business school, but without a husband providing financial support, she had to go to work. Despite being good in writing and that sort of thing, and mathematics, the best she could do was a factory job, which in the 1920s Midwest paid perhaps a dollar a day. Lynetta's father had died. She never elaborated on the specific cause or date of his demise. Her mother Mary lived with Lynetta during her marriage to Cecil Dixon. But not long after Lynetta divorced her second husband and struck out on her own, Mary Putnam became ill, probably with tuberculosis, and died in December 1925. A year later, Lynetta married again. Her approach to this third marriage was pragmatic. Though she yearned to be a great lady, she was currently working for a company in Evansville, Indiana. Typically, Lynetta later bragged that, "I started as a secretary, and in 1 year, I became a top aide." But the reality was that she found herself stuck in another poorly paying dead-end job. Her health was suffering, too. She later admitted to some kind of a lung condition. Historian Joyce Overman Bowman has found evidence that Lynetta was...